What an honor and privilege it is to be here this evening and to present a portion of God's Word to you. I'm grateful for this opportunity and I'm very grateful for it. Also, I'd like to thank Dan for that intro. You know, everything he said I absolutely agree with, and I'm going to touch on a few of those things like he said, so you didn't steal my thunder or anything. You know, but I'm going to actually take it one step further than what Dan just said. He made the claim and said accurately that when the day you became a Christian, you know, you became a child of God, you also became a soldier of Christ. And I totally agree with that. But I'll also say to anyone out there who's not a child of God or not a soldier of Christ today, you also are in this war. You are in this war. It's just a matter of who you're fighting for. And that's what I'd like to talk a little bit about tonight. This is spiritual warfare. Just by a quick show of hands, judging from what I just said, how many people in this audience are fighting in this war? Everybody is. Everybody. So are you in this war today? Yes, you are. Absolutely. Just something real quick that kind of sparked me to talk about this. Last Sunday, Kylie and I went up to White Rock to preach up there. And the Border Patrol agent, or the customs officer, he, you know, he's asking, you know, do you have anything in the car, yada, 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 the normal stuff. And we got done, you know, and Kylie didn't understand this, and I thought it was pretty cute and funny, but he said, are you sure you don't have any weapons in the car? And she's like, no, we don't have any weapons. Like, what do you not understand? And he says, are you sure there's nothing, you know, sharper than a two-edged sword? And she's like, no, what are you talking about? I'm like, Kylie, he's talking about the Bible. Pretty funny. You know, he looked at me and I'm like, yeah, that, good one. You got her good. So, anyway, if you are a child of God, you are a soldier of Christ, like I just said. And to that, I the next point is, have you forgotten that you're a soldier? This lesson, it was one of my favorite things to think about growing up. You know, talking about a soldier, that was something that I wanted to be at the time. Something that I saw as good and beneficial. You know, it was something that I wanted to strive to do. Yeah, I want to be a soldier of Christ. That sounds fun. But they get paid pretty well. That sounds cool. You know, that's something I thought about. So that begs the question, have you forgot you're a soldier of Christ? If you are one, have you forgot it? Have you forgot about the armor that we're supposed to have on each and every day of our lives? Another question, do you want to be a soldier for Christ? Because if you're not a soldier for Christ, you're a soldier for Satan. And I'm going to have a little spoiler alert here. The war, this spiritual war that we're in, it's already been decided. The victor has already been decided. It's just a matter of who are you going to choose to fight for. The winning party, who's Christ, or the losing party, which is found in Satan. That's the question. Who are you going to fight for? That being said, throughout this lesson, remember three things, if you can. Three A's. Our adversary, our opponent, our armor to protect us, and our aim. Remember those three things if you can. So our primary text is going to be taken out of Ephesians chapter 6. Paul writes to the church of Ephesus here in Ephesians chapter 6. In the last couple of verses, and we're just going to look at this. I have it on screen if you want to read it or follow along, whatever you prefer. But we're going to read this and try and make some applications real quick. So Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. So Paul writes, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So from these few verses here, we can take so many things from these verses. One of the things to note, too, that just thinking about is twice, in a few verses there, two times we're told to put on the armor of God. Scratch that. We're told to put on the whole armor of God. Not part of. Let's jump down to verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. There again, in these few verses, we're told so many things, and that these verses are what we're going to be primarily talking about tonight. Going back to the first few verses I read, 10 through 13 it is, just taking out some applications. From verse 10, we can see that we are only able to stand strong. The only way we're going to have a chance in this war is in the Lord's power. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Don't be strong in yourself, but be strong in the Lord. Be strong in God, because He's the one that's going to supply us with this armor that we're gonna talk about. Another point, it's God's armor that protects us. It's not our own armor. Verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God. It's a possession, God's armor. It's His armor, and He supplies it to us to help us. But it's His armor that we have to put on. And another thing too is that ultimately our battle, you know, our spiritual battle here, it's against the forces of evil, isn't it? In verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Well, so what? What's the or else? Well, or else you won't be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, against Satan's schemes. You're not going to be able to stand if you're not fully clothed in God's armor. So now that we've talked about that, I'd like to just go through a little bit of the armor of God. And just talking about this real quick. So we're going to start reading in verse 14 again. We'll just go through this. Paul said, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The first thing there, having girded your waist with truth. When you think of truth and its location, real quick too, before I get into the rest of these, I confidently believe that the way that this is written, the way that Paul chose to write this, I believe it has a meaning too. I really do, and you'll see that as I go on. That being said, we're told first and foremost, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. We know and we can understand that truth in this context and in all we do as Christians, truth holds all things in place, doesn't it? When you think, you know, gird your waist with truth, it's something at the core, isn't it? It's without truth being at the core of what we do as Christians, if the truth isn't at our core, if it's not there among us, how are we doing fully the Word of God? How are we doing that? We can't please Him. We can't be doing His will if truth isn't at the core. Because that's where it all begins, doesn't it? The truth. And having a love for the truth, something we talked about earlier this morning. Because many people will claim to know truth and to practice truth, but unless they love the truth and are willing to change and understand, I might be wrong, but I love truth so much that I see myself falling short. I want to make that change. Unless that is there, there's step one of putting on this armor of God that we read about. It's necessary. You, without truth being at the center of what we do, the rest of this armor means nothing. And that's the truth. No pun intended. The rest of verse 14 there. So after girding your waist with truth, it says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. When I think of a breastplate, I think of kind of a very large piece of equipment, huh? It's one of the larger pieces. That being said, something, I don't know if Paul intended to say this for this reason, it's just something I came up with, but being that a breastplate is kind of a large ensemble, a large piece that composes the whole part, think about your life as that breastplate. It composes a big majority of your life, doesn't it? That being said, righteousness and righteous living, should that not consume the majority of our life? all of our life. I'll scratch that and say, all of our life. And that's going to be our protector that we read of. Because without putting on each and every piece of these, you're susceptible to getting cut. You're susceptible to being wounded by the evil one, aren't you? But it's going to be our protector. We read of that. And then in verse 15, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, thinking about this and how Paul used the application of our feet to guide us with the scriptures. Compare this real quick to Romans chapter 10 and see what it says. We're also told of the gospel of peace here in Romans chapter 10. Verses 14 and 15 of chapter 10. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. That being said, flip back to Ephesians. We're told to shod our feet and with this preparation of the gospel of peace. We sing a song in the downstairs, I remember, just thinking about it. We sing a song of, I forget all the words, but be careful little feet where you go. Well, I guarantee you, this isn't even a guarantee of mine. This is a guarantee that God says. If we are shodding our feet with the gospel of peace and with the things that we've read of so far, our steps are going to be in the way He wants, aren't they? And we're going to be fully clothed in the armor that He has provided us with. Not our own armor, because that's not going to save us in the day of war, in the battles that we face. That's not going to get the job done. But our feet guide us. We need to be aware of this. Without the gospel of peace guiding us, just like our feet guide us, we've lost it. We've missed it. And we're not going to be clothed the way we need to be to fight the battles that we are going to face in life. That's just a fact. It's just a fact. Let's keep reading though. We'll start out in verse 16. So it says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Well, this shield that we see, taking the shield of faith, what is that shield? Well, it's a line of defense, isn't it? The rest of the things we've read about, girding your waist with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet with preparation, those are all things to protect you. This shield of faith is to our protector, but it's a form of defense, isn't it? Without a shield, without something to block the punches and the, I quote, fiery darts of the wicked one, end quote, without that line of defense, you're not going to be able, you will suffer. You are going to be hit by Satan and in his army. You're going to be hit by it. Similarly, taking that shield, well, the shield of faith, we read, without faith, we cannot please God. That's what I said earlier. I believe there are the applications that Paul makes of the objects of armor that we're out to put on and the attributes that go along with it. I believe they go together very well for a reason. And he didn't just choose different parts to compose this armor for a reason. I believe it came together for a real reason. That being said, like I just said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without that shield of faith, spiritually, that spiritual armor that we need to have with us at all times, we're going to suffer. We will suffer. That is our line of defense, faith. That's our line of defense. Hebrews 11 talks about that. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And then in verse 17, it says, and that take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Look at that first part of the sentence there. Take the helmet of salvation. Taking the helmet of salvation. Well, we know what a helmet is. We know it protects something really important to us, our spiritual heart. That being said, this hope of salvation, the salvation in the helmet that are talked about here, that hope of salvation is going to be what preserves us from the battle that we fight. It's going to be our protector and our savior. All of these pieces are. Like I've probably already said, if we are lacking in one of these pieces of armor, we are open to being hit. We are susceptible to Satan and the darts that he's going to throw at us in his army. Without the salvation, we have no reason to suffer, do we? Would you enter a battle, a war in this world? Would you feel comfortable entering that battle, that war, whatever? Would you be comfortable entering without a helmet? I wouldn't be. No way. No way. Just as important as it is to put on this spiritual armor, we need to think about the applications it brings to us and the salvation that is read of here. In the second part of verse 17, after we take up the things that we have already discussed, it says, also take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Well, everything so far has been a line of defense, hasn't it? It's been so that if we are hit, it's not going to affect us or hurt us as bad. This sword, if I'm understanding this correctly and thinking about it correctly, this sword is our first weapon, isn't it? Everything else has been about protection. But this sword is something that we can use to attack. And we read that that spiritual sword is the Word of God. Right, this is something that we can attack the enemy with. Hebrews chapter 4 also talks about this. That being said, this sword that I talked about with the customs officer that got Kylie pretty good, talking about how sharp it is, that sword, that spiritual sword that we have, that we all have access to, that spiritual sword is sharp enough to pierce the darts of the wicked one and defend what we do and why we do it. But it's also sharp enough to prick the hearts of men, isn't it? It is and it does each and every day. Pricks the hearts of men, and it should. It can. That being said, when you enter a battle, just applying this logically, I know now that we have other types of weapons, but that being said, think back thousands of years ago, and you would have a sword and a holder, right? That being said, when you enter a battle, okay, what good is it going to do if you keep that weapon, that sword? What good is it going to do if you keep that in its holder? I'm going to apply that to us today. We're told that this is the sword of God, isn't it? It's sharp. That being said, what good is this going to do for you if this sits, except for Sundays and Wednesdays, sits on the top of your bookshelf and collects dust? Because you don't have any other weapon to pierce the devil. You don't. So what good? Just like a soldier would not keep that weapon in his holder, this needs to be out too. This needs to be out. It really does. To be effective, that is. And I guarantee each and every one of us want to be effective, because that's why we're here. We're trying to be effective soldiers of Christ, aren't we? If that's not the truth, then why would any of us be here, right? And then in verse 18, it talks about after acquiring all these pieces of armor, the last thing we ought to do, the last thing mentioned here is praying. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Right? The active soldier of Christ prays also. And that is another weapon that we have, isn't it? Prayer in and of itself could be a lesson for each and every one of us, but the diligent soldier of Christ, the one that's striving to do what he ought to do as a soldier, complete the missions, if you will, prayer is an avenue. Prayer is something that he or she takes on each and every day, not just Sundays and Wednesdays, but. All of these are so important and so critical to us as Christians, because if you haven't seen this in this congregation or any others that you're a part of, I would just like to point out that I was talking to Joe about this yesterday, each one of us, I don't care your age, I don't care anything, where you were born and raised, any of us at any time, we are susceptible to these darts that Satan throws. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian or a soldier of Christ. It doesn't matter if you're a preacher or not. It doesn't matter how many Bible classes that you teach or do not teach. It does not matter. We are all susceptible because we're all fighting in this war. Thus, it is so important to clothe ourselves with the spiritual armor that God provides. Not that we provide, but that God provides. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It is a simple lesson, and the applications we can learn from it can save our lives, can't they? Yes, they can. Just looking here at some of the things we've talked about, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, this big section, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, the feet being protected by the gospel of peace that we read about, the shield of faith. When all of these things are combined, where is the weakness of this soldier? Someone tell me, where is this soldier susceptible to the darts that Satan's going to throw? Because I don't see one. I don't see one. When we acquire the armor that God has given us and God has provided us with, in its totality, each and every piece, where is the weak point here? Because I don't see one. Just as the soldier would clothe themselves in their armor, we need to clothe ourselves with the armor that God has provided us. A simple point, but it's one that's going to save us. And this purpose, you know, what good is this armor going to do? Well, go back to Ephesians chapter 11. The second part of that verse, put on the whole armor of God, so what? So that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the schemes of the devil. You see, if you're missing any one of these pieces, let's say you just don't feel like putting on that helmet because, man, that helmet's heavy and it makes my hair smell. Okay, guess where Satan's going to go? Guess where he's going to attack? Right at the helmet. If you say, you know, I understand all this, but that the gospel is just something I don't understand it. I don't want to think about that. You don't prepare yourself with the gospel of peace that we read about. Where's your weak point? Right there. Guess where Satan's schemes? Where is he going to fire at you? Right there. We need to have each and every part of this armor in our lives. Each and every day of our lives. Because if we don't, we're not going to be able to stand against Satan and his schemes. This applies to each and every person that can understand me right now. Whether you are a soldier of Christ or a soldier of Satan right now. This applies to you. Because each of us are fighting each and every day in these battles. Each and every day. Without this armor, we are not going to be able to stand, are we? I guarantee no one in this room would enter a battle some 2,000 years ago without any one of those things that we just looked at. You wouldn't do it because that's not smart. But God says, you know what is smart? How about you put on the armor that I've given you? Because that armor, it's going to get you through, won't it? It'll get you through all the battles. It will. That's not an opinion. That's a fact. This armor that I'm talking about will get you through each and every battle you face if you have it on fully, having on the armor fully. But only those in Christ are armed to fight. For Christ, that is. Because each of us are fighting. We're all soldiers for someone. It's just a matter of who you're going to fight against. That being said, talking about who we're going to fight, just something to point out here, just a little side note. Even among soldiers of Christ, Christians together, let's not fight each other. Right? We're on the same team, so to speak. We're on God's team, God's side. So let's not fight each other over things that don't matter. Let's not do that. You know, thinking about war and having that frame of mind, I think back to like war games, war, you know, Call of Duty, those types of things. And they have friendly fire, don't they? You can't shoot your ally, your friend, because why would you do that? Okay, well, we got friendly fire in here, don't we? Let's not shoot at each other, but let's remember who the enemy is. Because that's one avenue that Satan is going to use to try and get us. He'll try and turn us against each other. But let's not fight those battles. Let's fight the battles that matter against Satan. They're going back. What are the three A's that I told you to remember? Let's think about those things. Who is the enemy? Who's the adversary? The devil is. Keep that in mind. Let's not fight each other, but let's fight the real enemy. Let's keep our aim. Let's keep our armor on. Let's remember our adversary. And let's remember who the real enemy is in all things. That being said, how do I acquire this? We understand its importance, but let's apply this. You know, if there isn't application of the Scripture is just as important as the Scripture itself. If you're not applying these things that are being said, what good is it doing for you? If you are not reading this and studying this like you ought to, if it's sitting on your top shelf Monday through Tuesday, Thursday through Saturday, what good is that doing you as a Christian, as a soldier? Because this is your weapon, one of your weapons. So, application of this. How are we going to acquire this? Well, understand that the Word of God is truth. John 17:17 talks about that. That being said, the first part of this armor that we read about is truth. Girding your waist with truth. That's in verse 14. That being understood, we need to understand what the truth is. And we need to have a love for that truth. John 17:17, your word is truth. God's word is truth. The second part, we need to choose righteous living. Today, by the way God has designed it to be, the way God has demand. I give a bunch of different verses here, just some avenues on righteous living and calls to the Christian, calls and actions to the Christian. That being said, all of these things that I list, they all stem, don't they? They just keep growing. But we need to have a firm foundation in these things. Established on truth, which is the Word of God. Then we need to choose to live righteously, put on the breastplate of righteousness. A huge portion of our lives as Christians needs, all that we do as Christians need to be filled with righteousness and righteous living, the way God has designed it. Thirdly, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, like I just said a few minutes ago, we need to learn, we need to read, we need to study the gospel of peace. And we need to let it be our guide. Go back to James chapter 1 real quick. James chapter 1 verse 21. It says, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, the gospel of peace, which is able to save your souls." Which is able to save your souls. Have faith in God. That's another way we're going to acquire this armor, isn't it? By having faith in God and in His plan of salvation. Faith is it's essential. It is absolutely essential. It has been since the beginning of man, and it will continue until the Lord returns. But having faith as God is so important. It's there again, without one of these things, we've missed the boat. We've missed the mark. And we're going to be susceptible to those darts in those battles. And then simply being saved. Be baptized. Use that new armor that you've acquired to be victorious in Christ. Like we just read in, like we just sang in hymn number 231. Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armors on. Put your armor on. That being said, I've already said, the winner of this war, the winning party of this war has been decided. Would anyone here in the right mind, would anyone here choose to fight for someone that they know are going to lose? Because I wouldn't do that. If you know someone's going to lose, wouldn't you want to be against them? Because you want to be a winner. Well, I'm here to tell you, this spiritual war that I'm talking about, this spiritual armor that I'm talking about, it's all through Christ. It is all through Christ. And He is the winner. The war has been decided. That being said, how many of us have often heard of something to this effect? You know, you may have lost the battle, but you can still win the war. Well, as Christians, each and every day, we go through battles, don't we? And you may have lost a battle, but it's not too late to win the war, because that's what's important. Battles, plural, battles compose the war. I would much rather win the war than three battles, right? That being said, the point, if you have lost a battle, it is not too late to win the war and be victorious in Christ. That, just kind of wrapping this up here. Like I started this lesson by saying, each of us are a soldier to someone. We're either fighting for Christ or fighting for the devil. There is no in between. There's no middle ground. There isn't. This war that I speak of, it's not a select war. There is no assigning. You can choose who you want to fight for. That being said, I highly recommend that you choose to fight for the winner. I highly recommend it. Who are you going to decide to fight for? Your father, your mother, your siblings, your parents, your husband, your wife? No one can do that for you. No one can acquire the armor that I've talked about for you. It is a decision that you need to make for yourself. That being said, I highly recommend you put on that armor if you haven't done so. And if you have done so, if you are a soldier of Christ and you have forgot about that armor, or you found yourself lacking in one part, get that armor on. Get that armor on before it's too late, before that war is over. Because those battles, man, they come up quick. They come up fast. They come up unexpectedly. We need to be on our guard each and every day as Christians with the armor of God on us to protect us, looking to Him each and every day to save us. Lastly, the victory, like I've talked about and said before, that victory that I'm talking about, it's found in Christ and Him alone. Choose right now, choose to put on the armor of God. If anyone has a need, if anyone needs to put that armor on, please let it be done. I don't want to see anyone here lose the war. I don't want to see anyone here lose that war. If you are a child of God, a soldier of Christ, and you have put on that armor like I've talked about, but you found yourself lacking, find out where you're lacking and protect yourself. Don't do it for me. Do it for yourself. Protect yourself with the armor that God has given you. If anyone has a need, please let it be known as we stand and sing. Water.